This is the Doctor Football Podcast, recording remote. Once again, I'm here in Dedham. I'm with my main man, Justin Fine, the CEO of Hedgebetter. Justin's at the Hedgebetter Studio in Braintree, Massachusetts. Justin, what's the good word, man? How you doing today?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Getting back after it after the holidays is never easy. Always a busy time of year, but we're doing it. How you doing?
I hear you got a little Christmas vacation planned for tomorrow, Justin. Is that right?
Well, you know what? I'm going back to see the in-laws, so I wouldn't call it as much a vacation as a trip. So, yeah.
Yeah. Usually people like to go someplace warm this time of year. I think you're actually going to one of the only places that's colder. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, going somewhere colder and, not a lot of time to relax. But that's all right. Should be a good time.
Absolutely. What did you think about the weekend?
You know what? Overall, it was a good week of football, but I think it was definitely a poor week for the Patriots, right? And I'm sure we're going to get into that.
We're going to get all into that, my man. So let's get right to it because we got limited time today, okay?
For sure.
We're all disappointed today, Justin, by what happened with the Patriots last week and the week before, for that matter. A few weeks ago on the podcast, we talked about how the Patriots had a unique chance, okay, to win a Super Bowl. They were the number one seed in mid-December. That's something that shouldn't be scoffed at or taken lightly. But water always tends to find its own level. And that's exactly what happened the last few weeks. Think back to the last season, 7-9. Disappointing year. Holes up and down the roster. Think back to this preseason, coming off a bad season. You got a rookie quarterback. You got Cam Newton in camp. Okay. The Patriots are actually right now exceeding the expectations of where any of us realistically or thought they could be or would be. If you really step back to the preseason and we're really honest about where this franchise was, this is a big rebuild for this football team. This is not a plug in one or two guys and let's keep going like it had been for the last 20 years. That's why we're all so fooled and blinded by what's going on here, because for how many years has it been, we just need one more addition, two more additions, and we got the pieces, and we're ready to go compete for a Super Bowl. This is a total gut job and rebuild. And I think if you were being honest right now, realistically, you'd have to say the Patriots are ahead of the curve on that rebuild. This year has been full of positives. You have to step back, move beyond our feelings of disappointment, and take a look at the big picture view for this franchise. They are headed in the right direction. We all got fooled. We all bought into the hype, including myself, a few weeks ago. This is not a Super Bowl team. We wanted it to be because we wanted the good times to keep rolling. We wanted the legend of Belichick to keep going. We wanted to just keep the party moving onward. But that's not how it works in the NFL. And the fact of the matter is, from where this franchise was 2 years ago to where they are today, they have made big steps, but they still have big holes up and down this roster. They're not a contender. The defense, sorry, they're not that good. The offensive line, they too haven't played that well. Mac is good, but he still hasn't shown me 100% that he can be a franchise quarterback yet. And their special teams, their skill position talent is the worst in the NFL. You can say they've won before with bad skill position talent, but where's this team's Troy Brown, Justin? Where's their Deion Branch? Where's their Wes Welker? They don't have them. They have the worst in the NFL right now. They have major holes up and down the roster, is my point. They plugged some of them this year. They're going to have to plug some more of them this year. The fact that this team is even likely to make the playoffs in year one of the Mac Jones era, the fact that Mac Jones is at least an above average to good quarterback in the first year of his career are tremendously positive steps for this franchise. Justin, do you agree with me that the Patriots right now, more or less, are really if not right where they're supposed to be, quite frankly, even ahead of expectations a little bit?
I would put them, I think, to be honest. I think we had different expectations coming into the year. I would say they're probably, for me, right about what I expected. I expected them to be a wild card team coming into the year. I had enough faith in Mac Jones and enough faith in the talent around him, especially in Bill, that I thought that, if things went according to plan, this could be a playoff team. Like you said, we're all a little disappointed because I think for a while it was looking like we had a chance to be even maybe a little bit more than just a playoff team. But I don't think this team is necessarily right now exceeding my expectations. I think right now they're probably meeting them, probably right around par with what I was expecting beginning of the year. If, you know, they had won the past couple games and they were still number one in the AFC and, you know, they make a big run of the playoffs, then that would exceed my expectations.
My prediction at the beginning of the year was 9-8. And I said they would be a borderline playoff team. And in fact, I think I said I didn't think they would make the playoffs. So for me, I think this is great. I think it's great. Being a longtime fan, I know how hard it is for a team to even win 10 or 11 games and make the playoffs. It doesn't happen every year. So I look up and down this roster after what the debacle that was the 2020 season. I see a gaping hole at quarterback. I see terrible skill position talent. I see holes on the defense at almost every single position group. Terrible linebackers, holes in the defensive line. Secondary was good, but there was uncertainty in the contract situation of a few of the players. I see all these holes, and I say to myself, this is going to be a big rebuild. And I'm not sure, and it's not a guarantee, that they're actually going to be able to pull it off. So the fact that they're clearly headed in the right direction, I think as a Patriots fan, is something you have to be happy about. You know, as much as we're all disappointed today, because what did yesterday show us? It showed us that the Patriots are not a Super Bowl contender right now, as much as we wanted them to be.
No, yeah, I would definitely have to agree. And I mean, look, I was the one all year, you know, trying to say that, hey, this team still has the potential to be Super Bowl contender, still has the potential. And, you know, when they got hot, I immediately, you know, was ready to make that leap. Now I'm ready to take a step back. I agree. I'm ready to take a step back. I'm still not saying that, you know, there's no chance that this team, you know, is a Super Bowl contender. I mean, look at what the Bills did, right? The Bills, they lost us on Monday night. You know, it was such an embarrassing way they handled it. They went out and lost to Tampa Bay the following week, and we almost declared them dead, right? We said, hey, this franchise is pretty much as close to dead as possible. Now it looks like, barring anything crazy, they're going to run away and finish in the top four, win the AFC East. So Patriots definitely aren't dead by any means, like in terms of their Super Bowl prospects, but I am no longer expecting them to make a run at the Super Bowl, for sure.
Well, look, I was leading the wagon on the Bills of dead thing after that Monday night game. I think we both were, because it just felt right that way. I mean, that was such an embarrassing loss for the Bills and their franchise. But going into the game yesterday, putting that game 3 weeks into the rearview mirror, I think we talked about last week, and I think you would agree with me. The reality was, that game actually was, the Monday night game was irrelevant to the outcome yesterday, if not a disadvantage for the Patriots, because the Bills came into yesterday's game and they came to play. They were more ready to play emotionally. They were out physical. They out physical the Patriots, and they played with more intensity and energy than the Patriots did. And the Patriots, for the second week in a row, came out, in my opinion, kind of flat. That Monday night game, going into yesterday's loss, was really a distant memory. And it really felt like that. And I think we both expressed that in last week's episode, that look, this game concerned me. I think it concerned you. I didn't think the Patriots, I had a bad feeling about the game yesterday because of that reason. And I think it put a lot of pressure, frankly, on this Patriots team because of all the media buzz and hype. Do you agree with me, Justin, that the Bills are just simply the superior team to the Patriots in 2021? Like, I look at both these rosters, and I think the Patriots are a good team, but the Bills are a better team. Is that not right?
You know, I don't know if I'm necessarily ready to say that the Bills are a better team. Like, I just really feel like the Patriots they shot themselves in the foot. Like, I feel, you know, and it's easy to say, like, you know, they shot themselves in the foot. That could easily be because they're outmatched. They're playing against a better team. But, like, I did not think that the Patriots team we saw the last 2 weeks was the same team that we saw going into the bye week. And so, like, I'm not ready to say that the Bills are better. I just don't think we're seeing the Patriots team that we were seeing.
If either team shot themselves in the foot, though, it was really Buffalo. It wasn't the Patriots. I mean, Buffalo, right from the beginning of this game, they made a lot of mistakes that I think kept the Patriots in the game. In all fairness,
the fact that
the Pats even had a chance to win this game was really lucky. I mean, Buffalo wasted a lot of opportunities. There was a drop touchdown pass on one of the first few drives.
A couple of them.
There was Allen missed another touchdown pass, and the Bills had to settle for a field goal. There were a lot of missed opportunities out there for Buffalo. I think they dropped an interception or two that really kept the Patriots right in this game. I think, honestly, the Patriots did not stop the Bills one time on defense. I don't think Buffalo punted. And to me, that says it all. It says that the Bills were just plain and simple the better football team. And as much as I'm not saying the Patriots are a bad team, I think the Patriots are a good team. I think they're a playoff-worthy team. And like I just said in my opening take, I think they exceed expectations. But Buffalo is just a far more complete team. And I'm going to tell you, the biggest delta right now, as much as I hate to admit it, is the delta between Josh Allen and Mac Jones. As much as I like Mac, and Mac is light years past what Josh Allen was as a rookie. I mean, let's not forget how awful Josh Allen was in his first year. Mac has clearly gotten off to a faster start. But at this point in time, this snapshot in time, Allen is a much better quarterback than Mac is. And that really was one of the big differences yesterday.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Bills, their offense looked definitely superior to ours the other day. I mean, you know, and like you said, it's more so, I think, a developmental thing. Just, you know, Mac being a rookie, Allen, you know, has had a couple years. Like you said, I don't think Allen looked as good as Mac his rookie year. So it's not that I'm discouraged by that, but it did definitely look like, you know, the Bills were a force to be reckoned with. Either that or, you know, our defense didn't look like the defense, you know, from when we went on that run. It really did. Honestly, the Bills game the other day reminded me a lot of when we played the Cowboys the last time we had lost, you know, before the Indianapolis game, in the sense that we were in the game, we had a chance to win it, but it just seemed like we couldn't get stops when we needed to. Their offense was kind of having their way, and that was the big difference.
So what we talk about Buffalo, and last week after the Indianapolis game, Mac was pretty outspoken that this team wasn't ready to play. First of all, do you agree with me that they kind of weren't ready to play again this week? And looking back now, what do you think? Do you think Mac's comments affected this team? Do you think they actually put pressure on this team or put pressure on himself? I'm wondering if there's any correlation between Mac being so vocal and outspoken last week and, first of all, the team comes out flat again this week. And second of all, Mac has his worst game of the year. Any relationship there, Justin, or is that just coincidence?
No, I think that's just coincidence. Just coincidence. Good, they played a good team, tough game. I think it was coincidence.
So, how far is this Patriots team from being a Super Bowl team? We've seen them now. I would say they've played three Super Bowl caliber teams this year, and they've lost to all three of them. They've been competitive in all three games. You could argue that maybe they should have won one or two of those games. That's Dallas, Tampa, and now Buffalo. I think those are the three true Super Bowl caliber teams they've played. And at the end of the day, they lost all three of them. And I think that's telling. So how far is this Patriots team from being a Super Bowl caliber team? And if you could have a Christmas wish list, right, for one or two things that you think could make this Patriots team Super Bowl caliber, what would it be?
I think that would be a stud wideout and another lockdown corner to put opposite J.C. Jackson. I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, you know, we looked at a couple plays yesterday, and granted, I don't, you know, the second, I don't think that was totally Nikhil's fault, but, you know, you have guys out there like Nikhil who just kind of look like, you know, they're just unengaged. Like, you know, he didn't even make an effort at that first interception on Mac Jones's batted ball. You know, the second one, again, he kind of gave up on it. Once the ball went up in the air, he was absolutely clueless. That's kind of that's twice against Buffalo now that, you know, he's kind of crapped the bed. That's kind of what I want to see, right? I want to see like some solid studs out there at the skill position, especially at wideout for Mac, that I know that I can trust. Like, whenever I see some of these other guys in the game, like, you know, you kind of got to hold your breath. Like, are they going to be able to make a play? Are they going to fumble the ball? Are they going to do something stupid? I want to see someone reliable, at least one person, a cornerstone wide receiver one that Mac Jones can rely on. He can throw it up to when he's in trouble. You know, he can lean on him. And that's really what we need. And that will open up the rest of things for Hunter Henry, Bourne, Aguilar.
I completely agree with that. In fact, if you were to say to me I could have like two things, I think they'd both be skill position guy. I think I'd take two wide receivers. I mean, I think that's how bad it is right now for this team. But I think in 2020, if you asked me, I would say that this team is really far from a Super Bowl. And while I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender right now as presently built, I don't think they're that far from being a Super Bowl caliber team. I think there are a couple holes. And I personally, Justin, think it's realistic that they could be a Super Bowl caliber team in 2022 if they make good decisions in the offseason. Do you agree with that?
You know, I agree. I think, you know, not to look too far ahead because they obviously still have a lot of football left to play in 2021. But, you know, going into 2022, you know, I've talked about it with some friends. And, you know, what's going to happen with J.C. Jackson, right? Maybe they franchise tag him. But if you don't franchise tag J.C., like, he's probably gone. I mean, unless, you know, he's probably going to be the highest paid free agent cornerback in the league. You know, he's going to get a huge deal probably going into next year. He's going to be the top free agent on the market. You know, what do you do if you're the Patriots? Because we just said, you know, other than a stud wide receiver, we'd want another lockdown corner because clearly we're having trouble, you know, with some of these more prolific passing offenses like the Bills, like the Cowboys. So, you know, how do you deal with that situation?
Yeah, that's a perfect segue into the next topic I want to talk about. We talk a lot about Mac Jones, all of us do. We talk a lot about the offense. We don't, I think, focus enough on this defense. And I'll just say it right now that I'm really tired of people talking about this defense like they're the 2000 Ravens or the 2002 Buccaneers. They are absolutely nowhere near that kind of defense. Every single time this Patriots team has lost in 2021, all six times, they have either had a lead or been within one score and needed a stop to have a chance to give their young quarterback to get the lead. And every single one of those six times, their defense has failed. 0-4-6. You can go back to Miami right from week one, right up through New Orleans. They had the lead twice against Tampa Bay. They had the lead twice against Dallas. They had a chance against Indianapolis to get the ball back down a field goal, needing only a field goal to send that game to overtime and plenty of time left. And then yesterday, they clawed back to within one score, and they let Buffalo drive up and down the field on them twice in the fourth quarter in key spots to score touchdowns. This defense is overrated. They are not that good of a defense. They are a good defense. They are very good against bad competition. They are not a ready for prime time, A-list, Super Bowl caliber defense that can carry you to a Super Bowl. It is not what they are. They have still have too many holes, too many pieces in motion. I'm tired of the act that this defense is some kind of dominant defense. We've seen enough. There were signs all year long that this was the case, right? When Tennessee runs for 300 yards on you with two backup running backs, that's a warning sign. That's a warning sign. When you can't stop the New Orleans Saints to get back in the game when you have a chance to steal a game at home, that's a warning sign. Or Tua Tagovailoa against the Dolphins, they've been there all year. Justin, what's your take on this Patriots defense and my thought that this defense is overrated?
So I overrated, I guess, in if it depends on who you're asking, right? Like if you're asking somebody that's saying that this is one of the best defenses in the league, and that they can, you know, shut down, you know, an offense like the Bucs, like the Cowboys, like the Packers, someone like maybe the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, then I would say that we definitely have to revisit that situation. In terms of like overrated, though, in the sense that are they a very good defense? Like, I do actually think they're a very good defense. I think they have some holes. Like, I mean, look, no team is gonna I mean, it's very rare to come in and absolutely just dominate and just wipe the floor week in and week out. And during that seven-game stretch, we saw the Patriots defense, you know, dominate some decent teams, including, you know, Monday night in Buffalo. But it just seems like for whatever reason now, they're a step slower. They're making a few less plays, right? I mean, just think of some of the difference is some of the turnovers themselves. Like, you know, how many dropped picks, how dropped potential interceptions did we have between the Indianapolis game and the game the other night against Buffalo? I mean, those are interceptions. Those are plays that we were making during that seven-game stretch, right? How many times did Josh Allen scramble and just barely get out of the pocket and wind up making a play, right? Those were sacks that we were getting during that win streak. So I really want to say that this team is still capable of performing like that. I'm just not seeing it right now. And is that because, you know, maybe they had a flash in the pan and now we have an overinflated sense of their worth? That could be. But I do actually think this is a good defense. I just don't think they're playing like a Super Bowl caliber defense for sure.
I'm not going to say they're a bad defense. I don't know if I feel like they're even a good defense. I would say maybe an above average defense, and it seems like they have an ability against bad competition to thrive. But when the stakes are high, and I would say this is the mark of a good defense, is a defense that really makes plays when it counts the most. And for whatever reason, this team doesn't do it. They just don't do it. We've seen it now from it's week 16, 16 of 17 games. We've seen it from that first game against Miami. There's something about this unit. When they really have to come through, they don't. And I can't call, forgetting everything else that happened this year, I can't call a team a good defense if at a home game in December with the division on the line, they can't force one punt, not one punt, the entire game. I'm sorry. I can't call that defense a good defense.
I mean, no, I don't think that was a good performance. I don't think it was a good performance at all. But by the same token, look, they played the Bills a few weeks ago. And I know, you know, the weather affected that in the game script and all that and whatnot. But that was a dominant defense just 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago in Buffalo, right? So, I mean, I don't want to say that they're not a good defense. I just don't think they're performing well. So I don't know. I think that's where we differ.
I'll argue one thing on your side, Justin, about that. And I think that this is to something I said a few minutes ago. They came out flat in Indianapolis and they came out flat yesterday. First down. Okay. For the first series on the first drive, Josh Allen throws a pass to the running back in the flat. Kyle Duggar gets steamrolled and it ends up being a first down. It should have been a 6 or 7 yard gain. That was the tone for the whole game. The Patriots defense was out physicaled all day long by the Buffalo offensive line and by the Buffalo Bills players. And to the point you're making, if you're going to say, well, I still have faith that they're a good defense, maybe the reason why they haven't played well the last few weeks, and I would say this is super concerning, is the fact that they're getting out physical. And Buffalo, just like Indianapolis, came in, wanted it more, hit harder, played tougher, played with more intensity, and really was able to manhandle this team in a way that we weren't seeing a few weeks ago. Maybe they were playing a little more physical then.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's definitely concerning to say that your defense is getting out physical, especially when you look at the makeup of this defense. And this is supposed to be one of the biggest, you know, most physical defenses in the NFL. I mean, just pure size and strength alone, they got to be one of the largest defenses. So yeah, you hate to see them getting out physical. But to me, again, that's something that you can fix. It's something that I don't like to see it be a problem now, but it's not something that I don't think, you know, is reversible. I mean, look, we both said it during that seven-game stretch. That defense looked dominant. This team looked like a potential Super Bowl contending team. I'm not ready to write all of that off after these two games, but I am ready to say that there is a problem if for some reason we are, you know, trending in the wrong direction or not playing up to our potential.
If JC Jackson, just to play it on your side for a second here. If J.C. Jackson catches that ball and intercepts and returns it for a pick six, the narrative of this game would have been very different. That is true.
100%. That play changed everything.
But let me ask you something. Do you think that they would win even if Jackson took that ball, picked it off, took it to the house? I still think they lose this game because they would have left plenty of time for Josh Allen to come and make a couple plays downfield. And they did not show an ability to stop Josh Allen yesterday. I mean, even that interception, that was a bad pass by Allen. That was a gift. They didn't get many opportunities like that yesterday. I still think they lose the game if they leave 2 or 3 minutes left for Allen.
Look, that's very, very potentially the case. I mean, you know, it's tough to say, you know, what could have happened. Definitely, like you said, they weren't able to stop Allen all day. So it's not crazy to think that if the Bills, even regardless, if say returned it for a pick six, that the Bills still could have won that game. What's a little bit more concerning to me, and I just want to bring this up. You might completely disagree with me. And I know a couple other people have had, and I know some people say he's talented. He's been a bright spot. I'm not sold on Miles Bryant, number 41 for the New England Patriots.
Oh my God.
I'm really not. It seems like
sold on him. He got tooled on.
He got absolutely tooled on. It seemed like every time Isaiah McKenzie was making a catch or every time there was busted coverage in a player open, it was Bryant who was 4 or 5 steps behind him playing catch up. It was Bryant who blew the coverage.
Every time the Bills needed a play, they went after Isaiah McKenzie. Let me ask you a question, Justin. You watch a lot of football. You follow closely. Have you ever heard the name Isaiah McKenzie before yesterday?
Dude, he's literally the definition of I've heard him as he's a career practice squad player bouncing around.
Exactly. And he tooled on Miles Bryant. So what does that tell you about Miles Bryant?
But that's exactly it. This is the type of thing, and I don't want to change, you know, the direction here, but just real quick, this is one of those things that really annoys me, and this is where the Patriots have gotten themselves into a lot of trouble in the past, that's when Belichick starts to, overvalue the people he has and the personnel he has. We've seen how many times, you know, when the Patriots have tried to rely on guys to be staples in, you know, their defense, that we know, we can tell you should not be a starting defensive back or whatever defensive in the NFL. Miles Bryant to me is another one of Belichick's like pet projects that like he's determined to develop and turn into like the next, like, you know, nobody that became a big name.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it just seems like he's a huge liability. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I think between McCourty, Duggar, and Phillips, you have a great 3-man rotation back there that you should just keep going with. And Miles Bryant should be someone who sees the field on a limited basis. I think he's a liability, and I think these types of things really kind of chat my
mind. I mean, the guy can tackle. I think he can tackle, but he can't cover.
He's a liability coverage for sure.
And you know what? The thought crossed my mind yesterday, and I was going to bring it up later, but since you brought it up now, you know, three things happened that put Miles Bryant on the field yesterday. One is, they kind of blew the Jawan Williams pick, right? Another blown draft pick. He should be able to play in that spot. Number two is they lost Jonathan Jones, which is a bad break. Okay. But you should have depth in your second. You should be able to lose a guy and not have to throw really a fringe NFL player out there and get tooled on. And then number three is they traded Stephon Gilmore because that affects the whole depth of the team. And don't forget that. And when I'm watching Miles Bryant getting tooled out there, I'm saying to myself, if this team had figured it out with Stephon Gilmore, Miles Bryant isn't even on the field because it's just a chain reaction down the line. And they probably win that game and they probably win another game or two. So you're totally right. It's annoying when Belichick does these things. It's part of what makes him who he is, because sometimes he hits on them and he looks like a genius. But in yesterday's case, that was awful. And he really, in a sense, was the weak link on the defense. And hey, give credit to the Bills and Sean McDermott. We all get little, little tense in our Patriots pants when Belichick does that to other teams. Give Sean McDermott credit because he recognized and exploited that mismatch, okay, between his third wide receiver and your third cornerback. And he took that to his advantage. And every time the Patriots needed a stop, they went to that matchup, and it was there waiting for them, more or less.
Yeah, 100%.
Justin, let's talk a little bit about Mac Jones yesterday. That was probably his worst game as a pro. Do you agree that was his worst game? But I'm not sure how much responsibility he actually deserves for that loss at the end of the day, because I don't think he played well, but I don't think he really had much of a fighting chance either. The pass protection was poor. The skill position talent is the worst in the NFL. It is the worst. It is absolutely the worst. Where is Mac Jones now, Justin? And what do you think about the performance yesterday?
Yeah, I definitely think it was a little bit tougher of a look. You know, obviously, hey, when you play against good teams and, you know, you come out in the losing end, obviously, you know, it's probably safer to say it wasn't one of your better performances. But kind of like you said, while I do think there were a couple of plays, you know, that were there for Mac to make, I can't really say that loss was his fault. I mean, look, when you can't force the Bills into one punt during the whole game, right? And, you know, you can't make a play on defense. You can't get stops when you need it. You're working with some limited talent and injuries and offense. Like, you know, don't forget, the last two games that they've lost, they haven't had their two-headed monster in the backfield, right? This is a team that wants to use the versatility of Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris as a 1-2 punch and pound it down your throat and then use Mac as a complementary piece, right? And they really haven't been able to do that the last 2 weeks with their injuries. Damian Harris coming off of an injury, and now, you know, Ramondre Stevenson goes down. So I think that's actually really important to note, and I think it makes Mac's life, you know, infinitely more difficult when that running game isn't in place. But again, yeah, not Mac's best game. Not his worst. I'm not blaming the loss on him.
I mean, when you go into a key division game against a good team, and you're throwing out three guys that are, I don't know, two of the three starting receivers are, I would say, players that don't belong in the NFL. And you might, I don't know if you agree with me on Jacoby Myers. He's not an NFL wide receiver. He's a scrappy player. He's a smart player. They're going to scheme him open sometimes, and he'll make some plays. There's a reason why he doesn't catch touchdowns. It's because he's not a good NFL wide receiver. He's a fringe player.
Yeah, no, I agree.
N'Keal Harry is a disaster. He's a total disaster. There has to be someone somewhere on planet Earth, hanging out somewhere, working somewhere, doing something that has some kind of football background that could be better than what N'Keal Harry is. He is a bad receiver. I've never seen a player give up on a ball. I've never seen an NFL player give up on a ball like he gave up on the ball. He has no business being out on the field, and he dropped another one right before that. He stinks. Get him off the field. And Kendrick Bourne, I like, and I think he has the chance to develop into a starting caliber receiver, but he's not there yet. And he, in all realisticness, he's very inconsistent. And I'd have to say he's a number three right now. And I'd say the same thing about Aguiar when he's healthy. The tight ends are, Hunter Henry's an above average tight end. He's not a great one. Jonnu Smith's becoming a liability because of the penalties. Another one yesterday. So, and he doesn't make a lot of plays in the passing game. I just think it's really tough for any quarterback to be good. And I said it last week. Look at Brady in 2019. Okay, bad skill position talent around him. He was half the player he's been since he moved to Tampa Bay. They got to get this kid some weapons. I definitely think he didn't play a great game yesterday, but I mean, are you surprised? Terrible pass protection, terrible skill position talent. You got freaking Brandon Bolden, who's a punt team gunner as your third down back. No speed, no skill making, no talent on offense. And you want this kid to make magic out of chicken salad out of chicken excrement. It's not going to happen. He's not that good of a player. I'm not sure anyone really is. They need to get him some support.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, look, I would even say that, you know, I would be thrilled for Jacoby Myers to be like my fourth or fifth receiver, right? Because I think he's right. Someone that, like, you know, he's reliable enough and, you know, he's proven enough that, hey, he'd be a great success story as like a fourth option or a guy you got to slot in you know, when players are injured, whatnot. He's not a guy I want to build my offense around. I would even say that if you, you know, and obviously the guys like these are a dime a dozen, but if you had a Metcalf, a Devontae Adams, somebody like that, I think even then, someone like Kendrick Bourne becomes so much more valuable. Hunter Henry becomes so much more valuable. No question. Right? Like, I know we say like it would be nice to have, you know, like two more like studs at skill position for these guys, but I really even think just having one would do wonders for some of these, you know, middle of the road guys that can show that have shown that they can play, but they clearly cannot be, you know, the focal point of the offense or wide receiver.
How about just one stud and a couple guys that can make a play? You know, like Chris Hogan could make a play. He had strength. Danny Woodhead, right? Someone that's got a little speed. Someone that can make a damn play if you put them in the right spot and you scheme correctly. They don't even have that right now. I mean, Brandon Poulton is a scrappy, tough guy who we all like and who has clearly exceeded expectations this year. He is in no way, shape, or form a viable third down NFL back. It's not even what his skill set really is. So it's just crazy they're trotting him out there. And I think it really reflects and frankly limits the quarterback. I think the quarterback is a good quarterback right now. I don't think he's a great one, but when you put him out there and what they gave him yesterday, any quarterback is going to look bad. In the preseason, Justin, we said that, I said that if the Patriots went 6-11 this year or 5-12 or something like that, but Mac showed me that he could develop, he was likely to be a franchise quarterback, I'd be okay with that. Do you feel like that's happened? I mean, they're going to make the playoffs, which is great for this year. And they've exceeded expectations as a team, or at least met them, depending on how you look at it. Do you think that, what's your confidence meter and which way is it moving on Mac being an elite franchise quarterback? And I say that because if we've seen anything in the NFL this year, we've seen it is so important to have that guy that's the elite guy, like Josh Allen, like a Pat Mahomes, right? All the cream, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, all the cream is rising to the top. Can Mac be one of those guys? What's your confidence level with that right now?
Yeah, I'm still very confident Mac can be one of those guys. I mean, look, I think what we're coming to right now is the realization that it really does take a complete football team, you know, from top to bottom, to be a championship contender. I mean, even, you know, look, we were spoiled for two decades when everything was Brady and Belichick this, Brady and Belichick that, you know, guys like Gronk and Edelman every now and then you throw their names around there. But, you know, we basically put our trust in two players and said, hey, or, you know, two people and said, hey, if we build a team around them, eventually good things will happen. And what, you know, was still evident back then because obviously, you know, it took some really good defenses and really good Patriots teams to make it all the way. But we're seeing right now that even with Mac, even when you have a franchise quarterback, you need a complete team around them. They need weapons and skill players to throw the ball to and make plays, and you need to have a complete defense from top to bottom. I mean, it's the reason why guys like Aaron Rodgers only have one Super Bowl, right? Quarterback, you know, there are some guys like Russell Wilson only have one Super Bowl. There's some really successful franchise quarterbacks that have either only won once or never won at all. And it really goes to show you got to put a good team around him. I think Mac Jones is a franchise quarterback, but I think what we're seeing is that the team around him isn't quite what it needs to be in order to allow him to bring us back to that level of success that we were used to having.
What I'm going to say next is going to shock you because I've been, as you know, decidedly pro Mac Jones since August, but I'm not at all convinced that he can be that guy. I need to see just a little more from him. And I've been waiting all year for him to have that game or that couple of games where he throws like four touchdowns and 300 yards and they just look like a legit passing team. And to be honest with you, they really haven't had that. And now the last 2 weeks, let's face it, they've more or less moved in the wrong direction on that front. Now, I think that the failure to have that kind of game, it has a lot more, as much to do with the people around him, frankly, as it does him. And I would look to someone like Joe Burrow as a great roadmap for him. We've talked about this, I think, at some point in the year where, I mean, Burrow showed flashes last year before he got hurt, but he certainly wasn't doing what he's done this year. And that was a lot because he just didn't have the skill position talent quite there. They bring in Ja'Marr Chase. It makes all these other guys better, like you alluded to. And now they're like a highly functional passing game that's throwing the ball up and down the field. that's what I think you have to hope for Mac. But barring something dramatic happening here in the last two games and in the postseason, I'm going to probably go into 2021, maybe like 50-50 on whether I think Mac can be a true elite franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you for thinking that. I'm still gonna give him a little bit more credit though. We got a lot to see though. And hey, we're still talking about 2022. We still got a lot of football left in 2021.
That's right. We do. And if they go up and they make a big run in 2021 in the postseason and he steps up his game, then you know what? That's gonna show us a lot about what this guy is. But I just feel like, with what they actually put him out there with, I mean, at the end of the day, it can all fall to him. And I think far too much of it does, not just from us, but from really everyone, all the sports media, all the fans, they all point to Mac for the passing game when it doesn't look good. It really is, to me, more about the skill position talent. And quite honestly, with the talent he has around him, I'm not sure it's even possible for him to show us that he's a franchise quarterback, because their team isn't built for that. It just isn't, right? It's not built that way.
No, right now, right now, I think it would be asking a lot of Mac to be putting up Joe Burrow type numbers
I don't think Brady, for example, who might win the MVP this year, he'd be doing better than Mac, but he wouldn't be doing what he's doing in Tampa. I don't think any quarterback in the NFL would throw for like 40 touchdowns and 4,500 yards with this team. I think you could take a guy like Brady or Aaron Rodgers and put them into this offense right now, and you'd be lucky to get 25 touchdowns in six or seven picks and 3,800, 4,000 yards. I mean, that's what you'd get if you had an elite quarterback here, because the talent just isn't there. All right, we're going to talk about one or two more quick things, Justin, and then we're going to wrap it up. We said maybe 2 weeks ago that Bill Belichick was the coach of the year. Obviously, the last 2 weeks have really, I think, prompted that to reconsideration. Where are you on Belichick as being the best coach? And then as a side question to that, I have to ask you, we've said a lot that for this Patriots team, for us to have faith in Belichick moving forward, which I think he's restored a lot of our faith, and certainly mine. But are you concerned at all that this team is not improving? Are they regressing again at the end of the year for the third consecutive year? And is that something we should be concerned about?
It's concerning to me just because we've seen it happen. I think if we dig a little deeper, we can point to just more mistakes than I think maybe necessarily a lack of ability. Like I said, there's a lot of 50-50 balls that we were coming up with during that 7-game winning streak. We had a healthy Damian Harris and Ramondre during that 7-game win streak, right? So, a couple things we've been missing the last two games. Definitely Belichick has taken a little bit of a hit. But I guess I would say, if not Belichick, who creeps up into that conversation now, right? Like, who's doing more with less than Belichick? And that's where, that's still where I have a tough time trying to find someone else to knock him off.
If I had a vote, I'd vote for LaFleur in Green Bay. Like, I think right now he wins it. But I mean, there's still a lot of football left. And as we've just learned, the whole landscape can shift in a week or even 2 weeks, certainly. So who knows what's going to happen. But LaFleur, I think right now, looks like he wins it. I think Belichick's trending down. What about the team regressing, Justin? I mean, what should we take from that? If they could well lose in Miami in 2 weeks. I think they'll beat Jacksonville unless something unforeseeable happens, and heaven help us if they do. They go into the postseason losers of 3 out of 4. That is just so antithetical to what the typical Patriots team was. Isn't that a bit of a red flag or a warning sign?
Yeah, it would be a huge red flag. I mean, look, regardless of what happens, I still expect them to go and steamroll Jacksonville next weekend. For me, the real test is going to be Miami. Almost similar to maybe what happened with Buffalo. Buffalo had two tough weeks. People were starting to question them. They were trending in the wrong direction. They had their get right game against Carolina. They got their mojo back a little bit, and here they are trending in the right direction now. So maybe, hopefully, after two tough games, dealing with a couple injuries, a couple of mistakes and flat starts, maybe we come out against Jacksonville, we get our mojo back, we go down to Miami. If we can win a tough game there to close out the season in Miami against a divisional opponent, and we look good in that game, then, I'll feel a lot better heading into the playoffs.
Sure. I mean, we both looked at that Miami game as kind of like a throwaway game, but it's kind of looming large right now,
oh,
isn't
for
it?
Sure.
I'm sitting here wondering, like, I don't know how much confidence I have that they can win that game based on how they've performed against the Dolphins the last few years, and certainly against the Dolphins down there. They've had major, massive problems. So the good news for the Patriots is the way the cookie's crumbling, there's a great chance they're going to clinch a playoff spot this week. Okay, they need only to beat Jacksonville, and they need either the Raiders to lose to Indy or the Dolphins to lose to Tennessee. And I think one of those two things will likely happen. And the Patriots will probably have a playoff spot clinched up going into that Miami game. And I'd say that's very fortunate for them, because I do not want them to be in a situation where they have to win that game to get in. I think they would be in a tough spot. Flores seems to have Belichick's number. They seem to have the Patriots' magic figured out. And they perform very poorly against Miami. The Patriots have the last few seasons. So, but the larger picture is if they lose that game and they go in losers of 3 and 4 in a row, that is going to be a bit of a red flag for me, just for the future of this franchise and for this collection of players.
Yeah, no, 100%. You're not wrong to say that, and it's not wrong to be on our radar. Just hoping, you know, like I said, I think at this point we can move past Jacksonville, and we got to circle the Miami game, because that's really, really going to tell all, especially if we can stay healthy. And, you know, who knows, too, knock on wood, we've been one of the fortunate team so far this season. We haven't had a bad case of COVID break out in the locker room and absolutely devastate us. You know, you'd hate to think that could still be looming, you know, in terms of our future this season, because it would be coming at the worst possible time. But yeah, lots that could still happen. Lots of football still to be played. Lots of question marks.
So what do you think? Last question, and then we're going to wrap it up, Justin. Pats, Jaguars this week, they take care of business, one-sided win. Any chance that they blow this game at home?
No, I would give it like a 100% chance the Patriots take care of business. I think they're going to make Trevor Lawrence look absolutely silly, to be completely honest.
I almost wish that Urban Meyer was still the coach, because I feel like that given the clown show that was down there, they would have a better chance of taking care of business. But I think it's almost unfortunate for them. It seems like Jacksonville played one of their better games last week against the pathetic Jets, but nonetheless. So, it would have been better for the Patriots, I think, if Urban Meyer was the coach. But, you know, I still think they take care of business. And I think, you know, with any luck, they'll have a playoff spot clinch out. And for me, and you might disagree with me, I think if they clinch a playoff spot next week, whatever happens from there on out, losing Miami, losing the playoffs, this is a wildly successful year. Wildly successful year to make the playoffs, get back into the tournament, have a young quarterback you think you can develop and be in position to fill some of these holes. I mean, you know, and who knows? Maybe they surprise us, because, hey, if the season ended today, do you know who they'd be playing in the postseason?
I believe it's Cincinnati, and I would
at Cincinnati.
Welcome the shit out of
they,
that. Yeah. Oh, my
they
God.
Could beat,
yeah.
They could beat that team. I mean, that's a team they could beat, right?
100%. I mean, look, there are really only, you know, there's really only one team that really scares me right now, and it's the Chiefs.
Team in the AFC they couldn't beat. I think they'd have a hard time beating, and we both know who that is.
Right. And again, hey, I know we got to wrap up, but just real quickly, I want to say I was very skeptical about that Chiefs defense in the beginning. I know it seems like they've put it together, you know, the last 7 or 8 weeks, and you know they figured it out. They've hit their stride. I just want to encourage people, go back, look at their opponents over that 7-8 game stretch. Even in games, you know, they had one or two games against good opponents like Dallas. You know, Dallas didn't have CeeDee Lamb. They didn't have Amari Cooper. The other games, you know, they were playing teams like Denver, Vegas, you know, old crappy Big Ben. Like, they were not playing some good teams. So I do just want to say that. I would encourage people to look at that almost like the Patriots, how they started the 2019 season. Remember, a bunch of crappy teams.
Oh, absolutely. Had the highest and we're going to get a real litmus test for them, because they're playing a Bengals team that's suddenly red hot again.
Right.
And that'll be in Cincinnati. That'll be a big test for that Kansas City defense. I mean, we've said it all year long. It's true. I mean, the Chiefs are the closest thing to a dominant team, but the AFC is wide open this year. It still is wide open. I don't know if the Patriots have the horses to make a deep playoff run, but in any one matchup, I don't think that there's any team that I would say is totally outclassing them. To be honest, I mean, Kansas City, I think I'd have a hard time seeing them winning in Arrowhead. They've already won in Buffalo. They beat Tennessee at home. I know Tennessee may be healthier. I still think they could beat them. It's a wide open field, and hey, we'll see what happens. But if they draw Cincinnati or they draw the LA Chargers or the something like that, or the Tennessee Titans in a week, oh, they're not going to draw the Chargers. But if they draw the Titans or the Bengals in week one playoff matchup, I mean, they got a good chance against either one of those two teams.
They do, and I would actually love if they ended the season hot against Miami, looking good. I kind of love the fact that they play again the next week and they don't have a bye.
Maybe it'll work to their advantage. We saw what the bye would get to them last time, man. All right, well, listen, that's all the time we have, Justin. Thanks for doing the podcast. And I want to wish everyone a safe, healthy, and happy new year. God willing, we will be back next week. We will have another week of football to talk about. I will have another week of doctoring during the pandemic under my belt, which is I could do a whole separate podcast about all the shit stuff, I should say, that happens, and all the people that were advising on things the last few weeks. But that's another matter for another day, my friend. Wish everyone a safe, happy, and healthy new year, and good luck, Justin. Have a great trip to Nebraska, my friend.
Happy new year, guys. Take it easy.
Happy new year. Bye.